Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Mo'adim L'Simcha, how are you?
Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, nice to catch up after a long weekend and so much news to talk about. I hear that Louis has already been talking about the famous victory of Maccabi Haifa over Juventus yesterday. Visitors from Italy really came unstuck against Maccabi Haifa. Not that it necessarily helps Maccabi Haifa's campaign in the Champions League, and not that it necessarily does any disservice to Juventus, because I both think both of them are probably going to be pushed aside at the expense of the likes of PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, and Benfica, who are the two group leaders and who played to a draw last night. So that was the football. Today is the day during Sukkot when we have the gathering at the Kotel and the famous communal Birkat HaKohanim. People are getting ready for that today, and it will be back to pre-pandemic levels. But it was fascinating for me to read about Hakel, which apparently is a practice which is resurging in these post-pandemic era, and in this post-pandemic era. And for those people who don't know what Hakel is, this is apparently the penultimate commandment in the Torah, and it commands the Jewish people to gather in Jerusalem every 7 years. Not to gather in Jerusalem, I'm sorry, to gather at the temple every 7 years on the first day of Sukkot to hear the king of Jerusalem read aloud from the Torah. That is what we are commanded to do.
Right.
And I have little doubt that today's gathering at the Kotel will be something along those lines. A gathering and in-gathering, even though today we don't have a king of Jerusalem, we don't have a temple, and most Jews, or at least half the Jews that I can think of, live outside of travel distance from Jerusalem or easy access to Jerusalem. Today's gathering at the Kotel will certainly be something along those lines, but it's not limited to the Kotel, because apparently around the world, Jews are having gatherings during this time of Sukkot. Across the United States, there will be various different gatherings, one in Massachusetts, one in Minnesota, a community building exercise all over the place. Chabad headquarters in Crown Heights is expected to host a massive gathering. Chabad in Midtown New York is supposed to hold a Sukkot event for young Jewish professionals in the spirit of the ancient practice of Hakel, to get together and to come together as a people and somehow to draw inspiration and draw energy from each other. And this is just a fascinating thing that will be going on during the period of Sukkot. And of course, people can watch the Birkat HaKohanim at the Kotel online. It's something that is definitely worth watching. And so I just wanted to mention that. And of course, today's Birkat HaKohanim will be attended by the President of Israel, Isaac Herzog, on the occasion of the dedication of three new Torah scrolls, which will be dedicated today at the Western Wall Plaza. And let's not forget that the president's grandfather was an Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel who was apparently present at the country's first Hakel celebration all those years ago. So
that's
a fascinating event for today. Something else that I wanted to talk to you about, how there's so many different things, but I found myself at the end of the first day of Sukkot in the evening, once the Chag had finished in Israel, I found myself at a mall in my home city, having gone out in the evening and reading about the day's news. And I was reading about a shooting incident that took place in Bethlehem. And apparently a hotel in Bethlehem somehow attracted automatic weapon fire towards the hotel by gunmen in the area as a result of a Magen David and a menorah being displayed in one of the conference rooms of the hotel, such that it could be seen through the windows of the hotel from the outside. And as a result of that Magen David and that menorah being seen from the outside, there were gunmen in the area who shot a volley of gunfire towards the hotel and particularly towards those symbols. Because why? Because they understood from what they saw that there may be Jews in the hotel, and hence a folly of gunfire towards the hotel.
Wow.
Well, now, that's not the end or the worst part of the story. The end and the worst part of the story is when it became clear that this was the course of events to the manager of the hotel, he made a public announcement, and he said, there are no Jews in this hotel. Please don't be misled by those symbols. There are no Jews in this hotel. In fact, it turns out that there were Filipino Christians who held a gathering at the hotel and who chose to use those symbols as part of their gathering. The hotel owner went on to say, we don't allow Jews at this hotel.
Right.
And what's more, that group of Filipino Christians have left and they will not be welcome any longer. Now, I was sitting in the mall with Jews and Arabs circulating around, people busy going about their daily activities in a Jewish city in Israel. And I was just thinking to myself, this charge of apartheid that constantly is leveled against Israel, seems to me to be really crazy at this moment in time.
And what's amazing is you saw this news. We would never see it. It would never reach us. And it doesn't. It just, same as that terrible incident of the beheading of the gay Palestinian who had taken refuge in Israel, that it didn't make any of our news cycles here. And why didn't it? Because it just doesn't conform to the narrative. It just, it's uncomfortable because it just doesn't tell the story that they want to tell.
So I'm telling the story because I think people need to hear this, and people need to put this into context.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I may be accused of having a certain agenda and coming from a certain angle. And if that's what you believe, then I'm happy to admit to it.
Right.
Because my agenda is to try and level the playing field a little bit, to try and present things as level as possible. I have no issue of saying when I think things are wrong and, you know, we might be at fault for certain things.
100%.
But on that particular occasion, whenever it was, and that evening that I was sitting on Monday evening thinking, Sunday evening, but just reading the story and then looking at the scene around me while Jews and Arabs, everybody was mixing and going about their daily business and nobody was preventing anybody else from doing anything. And then I read the story where the hotel owner says, Jews are not allowed at this hotel. That was really, the red lights were just flashing everywhere for me.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing. This is a terrible story, of course, that two IDF soldiers have been killed over the holiday weekend, both in drive-by shootings. And that makes it very difficult to manage.
It certainly does. So let's go to just before the holiday weekend began, Sukkot. And this particular event took place at the Shuafat, a refugee camp, which is just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, a young 18-year-old border police soldier was shot. She was on duty outside the Shuafat refugee camp at the checkpoint. 18-year-old Sergeant Noah Lazar and a person drove past the entrance to the refugee camp and simply opened fire towards where she was standing. She was fatally injured. Another 30-year-old private security guard also very, very seriously injured, and he continues to fight for his life. He was a man who emigrated from Brazil to be a lone soldier and who served in the IDF and is currently working as a private security guard, and he unfortunately is not in stable condition after having been shot towards. But unfortunately, Noah Lazar died almost instantly at the scene. And so an 18-year-old life unnecessarily lost. That wasn't the end of the story, however, because since then, yesterday, unfortunately, another IDF soldier, this time a 21-year-old young man serving with a elite IDF unit with the Givati Brigade. Mm. He was killed in an incident where apparently somebody just simply drove up and shot towards him. And even though there were attempts to resuscitate him, ultimately he lost his life. 21-year-old Ido Baruch, and he comes from Gedera. His funeral will be held later today. So unfortunately, unnecessary loss of life.
Terrible.
Interestingly, yesterday's event has been claimed as responsible by the Lion's Den terrorist group.
What?
Which is based in Nablus.
Are they new?
And this is the group. It's a relatively new group, but this is the group that I described to you, I think, last week, where the governor of Nablus tried to negotiate with them to come out and to lay down their arms. And he clearly has failed because they were the ones who were involved in yesterday's shooting of Ido Baruch and his, of course, of his killing. They've claimed responsibility. And more than that, they have announced to the masses of our people that the coming hours will bring surprises that the enemy does not expect.
Well, that's generally the nature of a surprise, isn't it? I don't want to state the obvious, but that is the obvious. It's not a surprise if we expect it, right?
Apparently not, but what
I don't want to work on their copyright, on their copy and their marketing, but that just doesn't really make sense to me.
And this was put out last night, and of course, nothing since then has happened, but one of the surprises one of the things that always surprises me, even though I know it happens and I expect it, but I just can't fathom it, is the handing out of sweets in all of the Arab cities once these incidents have taken place. I obviously leave listeners to draw their own conclusions, but our hearts go out at the moment to the families of those two soldiers who were killed in the defense of the State of Israel and unfortunately have lost their lives in the process.
Absolutely. Israel and Lebanon have reached an agreement on the maritime border issue. So this was really touch and go.
It was really touch and go, and lots of statements and counter-statements and accusations, criticisms of this particular maritime border dispute and the agreement. The U.S. administration now making public statements in the form of Joe Biden and Antony Blinken commending Prime Minister Yair Lapid on being brave enough to reach this agreement. And the problem for some Israelis is that it looks almost like Israel might have given up on all its claims because there was that disputed area which had been disputed for a number of years. Then in recent times, Lebanon increased the disputed area. So there was originally a disputed area which then became a much more expanded disputed area. But we now understand that Israel has actually agreed to give up all of the original smaller disputed area over to Lebanon to allow the extraction of gas to take place, with the understanding that some royalties will be paid to Israel for gas that is extracted from that area, which has been handed over to Israel, in terms of an agreement which has been brokered by the United States and which apparently has come with written guarantees from the United States, because of course this agreement is being entered into with a country with whom Israel has absolutely no relationship. And so therefore, if for whatever reason the agreement is not adhered to, Israel has little recourse in order to try to assert the agreement and the terms of it, and hence the United States coming up with the written guarantee. But of course, the fact that the whole of the original disputed area has been given up has come for some criticism, particularly ahead of our election, which is now less than a month away, even though some economic benefit will be derived. And even though the Boyd line, which was a line that Israel had put up already some years ago, that line, which was an original line, will actually be encapsulated in the agreement as recognized by both parties. Hezbollah came out saying that if Israel didn't agree to the terms, there would be a conflict, that they would get involved. There were threats that came from Hezbollah. Israel decided that they wanted to begin extracting gas from the Karish gas field, which has been delayed. We're not sure if it's as a result of this border dispute or not, but Israel was almost preparing for a war on that border as a result of the extraction of gas ahead of any agreement. The agreement has been reached now, so we understand that that will go ahead, and we'll see how that moves forward over the next few days.